That was good.
Thank you for supporting us. We just felt that support. You know, sometimes when we sing from up here and we look down and you just guys are like, come on, give me a break. We need you to worship. We need you to move your body. You know, I know a lot of people, they go to a sports game and they just go crazy over their team. And they are just screaming from the top of their lungs. I know people that go to concert and by the time they come home, they lose their voice. Ever done that before? I did it, right? So, come on, this is the place where we worship Jesus. And this is the place where you guys can let loose. And don't care about what your husband says or your wife says. Or anybody else, really. This is church. This is where we worship Jesus. No, that's good. You know what? I've heard all kinds of different songs growing up in church. I've heard songs where there's a name of Jesus mentioned, name of God, Holy Spirit, and all those names. But I've never really come across a song that has the name devil in it. I mean, and I thought to myself, he's not even worth to be in a song. He's not even worth to be sang about. Like, he's just, the enemy is defeated. And then I read the words of this song, and then it just made sense. Whenever you say the name of Jesus, whenever you pray in the name of Jesus, you actually are letting the devil know, not today. Not today, enemy. Not today. As my shirt already declares, and there's a couple of supporters in the, thank you so much for all your support. And I hope some people actually texted me after the first service, and they were like, Dave, where can I get that shirt? So I'll tell you where you can get it too. But we were at the store. My wife and I went shopping this past weekend. We just walked into the Forever 21. That's the store. And we're just walking. I saw this shirt standing there. And I told my wife, I want this shirt. I like it. Because there's a song that actually is called Not Today. And it's on a new CD that I've been listening to for the past couple weeks. And we're getting it. And then later on, I'm like, oh, I don't really need it. And then she already had it picked up for me. It was ready to be checked out. And then we bought it because I was planning to actually speak next Sunday. Pastor Ken was supposed to speak today, but then Pastor Ken decided to go visit his family. And Larry is away as well. So, and then I walk into the office on Tuesday morning, and Pastor Ken is like, Dave, are you here this Sunday? Because guess what? I'll be away. Can we switch? So we switched our spots for speaking. And then basically everything worked out just perfectly. You know, we got the shirt and I knew already what I was going to speak on because that song, we kept on playing that song over and over again. That's sort of kind of become a theme of our house. And even kids are now singing it and it's just an amazing song. And it's on a new CD by Hillsong United called Wonder. But then as I walk into the office on Tuesday, there's panic. You know, usually we don't have much going on in the office during the week, unless people come to talk to us and or we have to go and visit people. You know, usually it's peaceful and quiet, and on Tuesday mornings we should have our meeting when we discuss things. But then I came into the office, Beth was there, the office administrator, and she was looking out through the window. And this was the first time, even Pastor Ken was able to witness, this was the first time that we had a turkey vulture sitting right in our parking lot, this huge thing that I've never seen in my life. I didn't even know existed. But this turkey vulture was sitting there, and Beth was so concerned because she thought that she saw this turkey vulture eating this little bunny alive. That's basically what she saw. She's like, David, there's the turkey vulture out there, and you know, it's attacking this little bunny, and it wants to eat it. And as she was talking this, as she was saying this, Pastor Ken just passed by. Well, Pastor Ken goes, well, the turkey vulture has to eat too. And then it was a hit because Pastor Kent pulled out his cell phone. This thing just spread his wings up wide open, and he was taking pictures. It was just a bigger. But then, just before we were going to go into a meeting, I decided to, because I like little bunnies. I see them in my backyard all the time, and I was gonna go out there and I did. I walked out. We have a little push broom right behind the office there. I took this push broom and I was going to go out and smack this thing out of its head to leave this little bunny alone because I didn't want this bunny to die. Anyways, as I was walking back there, as I was approaching this thing, I sensed this smell. It was a bad smell. And guess what? It wasn't a bunny. It was a skunk. there was, I think it was dead. It wasn't moving. So this vulture already killed it. And I just left it. I didn't want to do anything because it was skunk. So I walked back into the office. I'm like, Beth, I just want to let you know it's not actually a little bunny. It's a skunk. She's like, oh, you made my day. So I tell the story to Pastor Ken. And we're like, skunk, what are we going to do? It's going to smell. And he started smelling a little bit. You know, it wasn't that much. Anyways, long story short, there was another one that was cruising in the sky. You know, they were going to come and eat this thing a lot dead. And as when I came back into the office on Wednesday, and I saw Pastor Ken came in early. And poor guy was in the back trying to bury this thing because it smelled so bad that we couldn't even be in the office area. It was just terrible, that skunk smell. Somebody was coming from down the street, Bleams. They're like, oh, yeah, it's like up at the home of Watson, all the way over there. Like, you can actually smell it. So Pastor Ken was kind enough to go and bury that thing somewhere in the backyard. And poor guy had smelled so bad, he had to go home and shower. But that was like just, it was just disgusting. But then this thing came to my mind. As I was sort of like in this not today mode, in this song, and just thinking about what I'm going to speak, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about the enemy of our souls, the devil. And this is what the scripture says. I'm going to read the scripture and then I want to talk a bit about it. In 1 Peter 5a, this is what it says. Be alert and sober mind, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Then he goes on to say, resist him. Stand firm in your faith because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while will himself restore you to make you strong, firm, and stand fast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. And I was picturing this vulture was just kind of cruising. He had his wings spread. He was kind of marking his territory. This was his dinner. I never thought in my life that skunk would be a good dinner. But it was, I guess, in their chain of foods. Pastor Ken said that it must have been even a specialty for them. But then This thought came to my mind. You know, this is how it is in our life. We live in a world that is physical world that we as Christians walk in and talking and move in and do stuff. But we have to be more aware of the spiritual realm that is present. Lots of people that believe in God, they also believe in the devil and his angels as well. So there's good and evil. And even people that don't believe in God, they believe there's something good out there and they believe there's something bad out there. And there's good people and there's bad people, right? So we have to be aware of this reality that there's a spiritual world behind everything. There's a spirit behind everything. Now, this is a big topic, but I just want to tap into a little bit of it so that you're aware of the authority that God has placed in your hands as a Christian that you can walk in and live in daily, okay? I know a lot of people that are struggling with fear, panic, anxiety, nightmares, series of unfortunate events. My wife and I have just been through some of that. We've had everything that possibly that we could have had in our life break down. It broke down from our car to our coffee machine. That was a big one. I mean, that's really bad, right? I mean, everything that could ever possibly break down, broke down. And I really believe that sometimes when things happen in our life, they happen because we are being spiritually attacked. And the enemy, who is the devil, he is after our soul. He's after your soul. And he wants to turn you away from God himself, trusting God. He wants you to live an independent life of God so that he can influence with his army, demons, what you're going to do in your life. One thing that I want to get out of the way right away is that God is omnipotent. He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's in here today. He's everywhere you're going to go tomorrow. God is everywhere. But devil himself is not everywhere. Okay, that's the one lie that some people believe in. Devil is not everywhere. He's just a one spirit in a spiritual realm. So you don't have to be calling people the devil. or you don't have to be going around thinking the devil is there somewhere. No, devil is not everywhere. Okay, that's the one lie. And another lie that the Christians believe, actually, is the devil can know our thoughts, not know our what we're going through. He can't. The devil doesn't know your thoughts. Only God knows your thoughts. Only God knows you from the depths of your heart. You know, but do you ever feel spiritually attacked? Do you ever feel like you're going through, sometimes there's a season, sometimes you feel down, you know, when people ask you, how are you doing? Well, I'm having a bad day. You know, I really believe that when people say I'm having a bad day is basically referring to I'm being spiritually attacked. There's spirits that are attacking people. And do you sometimes fear or have a rebellion or sometimes you walk in this life and you have unbelief to God and you're not having enough faith in God towards something that you're going through. I really believe that those are all the little things that where enemy is trying to attack us and pull us away from the right path. Every time there is a season that God wants to do something great in your life, and every time that God is actually doing something great in your life and through your life, is a time when the enemy is going to send his angels to attack you and to take your peace away, to worry you, to put the fear in your heart, to just work against you. And because the enemy is the devil himself is the enemy of our souls. He's fighting for your soul every single day. Did you know that? The moment you open your eyes to the moment you go to your bed, he's fighting for your soul, which is the most important asset that we possess. The soul that God has created us with. And this is the soul that the enemy wanted Jesus, you know, when Jesus was being tempted, if you read in the Bible, that's what the enemy wanted. He wanted his soul. He wanted to tempt Jesus so that he would give away, and he was offering the world. He was offering everything to Jesus. But there were so many amazing moments in Jesus' life when Jesus lived out this thing, not today, enemy. And whenever Jesus was fighting the enemy, he was speaking the word of God. He was declaring the word of God. And he was letting the devil know that this is not his day. That's why this statement, not today, I really want to impart on you today so that you can live victorious life in Jesus daily. Because we have the power to say and pray in Jesus' name. And we have the power to say, not today, enemy. You're not gonna mess with my marriage today. You're not gonna mess with my children today. You're not gonna mess with my relationships. You're not gonna ruin things today. Because he's fighting every day for you, your soul, your marriage, your children, everything good that you possess, everything good that you have going on in your life, he's fighting so that he would take away your peace and take you away from God. See, in Ephesians 1, this is what it says. I also pray that you will understand this incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but in the world to come as well. God has put all things, not some things, all things under the authority of Christ. And he has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And who is the church? The church is you and me. So everything that, every single authority, everything that's been put under Jesus has been put under us as well. And this verse says, and the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Amen. So why do we sometimes, or the people that even believe in God, why do we sometimes live a defeated life? We walk like we're defeated. Our faces showing sadness and grief, and when we know that the same power that Jesus had when he was on this planet Earth. The same power that actually raised Jesus from the dead. And then when Jesus was about to leave, he said, I'm giving you all the power. When the Holy Spirit comes, I'm giving you all the power that you can trample the snake, you can cast out the demons, you can pray for the sick, you can, with this power that's available to you, you can do anything. So if we have this power, why do we sometimes walk in this life struggling with things that we shouldn't be struggling with? When we have this power that's available to us, the Holy Spirit. In Luke 7, there was a gentleman, there was a centurion. He wasn't even a believer. He just heard about Jesus. Jesus came into the area, and he had a servant that was sick. But this centurion was over the soldiers. He had about 100 soldiers under him. That's how they were working back in the day. And he asked some of his people, he said, you know what, just go, please go get Jesus to just pray for my servant so that he would be healed. So that he was really dear. He was really close with this servant. And I'm just going to read from the verse 6. They were begging Jesus to do this. And then Jesus comes along. He says, Jesus went with them. But just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my home, for I'm not worthy of such honor. I'm not even worthy to you to come and meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. And then this is what it amazed me. Really spoke to me. Really believe speaks to you. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers, and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go. I only need to say come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they will do it. So here's a guy who doesn't even, he just heard about Jesus, but he knows something about authority. He knows something about the power that you can have. And he just says, Jesus, no, don't even, I'm not even worthy to see you. Just say the word. Just say the word. And then Jesus goes on to say, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. He was amazed that the guy who wasn't even a Christian, so-called Christian, would have such faith to understand what the authority is all about. And turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, and this is what Jesus says, I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. He hasn't seen a faith. What does it take to amaze Jesus? Jesus was amazed. He couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe there's actually people that have such faith to just say the word. And things will happen in a spiritual realm. Submit yourself to God. And here's the verse from James 1:4-7. This is what he says. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Just say the word. And what is the word that we are to say? Jesus. Jesus is the word that the demons shake and are scared of, that the devil has been defeated by. Jesus is the word. Jesus is the authority that you and I have today. And here's three things I just want to leave with you today that I really believe are necessary for us to understand as Christians and non-Christians. People say, you know, I know people that are struggling. They're going through a lot of addictions and they're struggling with this and that. And yes, there is people that are being attacked by the spirits. And this is a whole nother topic. But because we believe in God, we have to believe in the enemy and his angels that are here to take people away from the truth. And here's number one thing that we have to do, as the verse says, submit to God. In order for you to operate in this authority, in order for you to be able to fight the enemy, you need to be submitted and aligned to God and his word first. Lots of people are saying, well, I don't have enough power. You know, I'm fighting this addiction for such a long time. And I know people myself, even people that have come to church and they're not in church anymore and they're struggling with these addictions, whatever that may be. And I don't have enough power. I always get back to it. I always get back to drinking and all that stuff because they are not submitted to God Himself and His Word. We need to submit our lives to God because that's the beginning of healing. That's the beginning of healing and restoration in our life. Amen? It says that even Jesus himself, John 5:30, he says that Jesus even himself, who was God, was submitted to the Father. And he could only do things the Father told him that he can do. So Jesus himself was submitted to God and his ways. And I'm sure, I always say this, Jesus could have had, nowadays, big conferences and thousands and millions of people coming and healing services and all that stuff. Jesus could have done that, but no, he didn't do that. Because he only did things that his Father told him. And that was to disciple the 12 and prepare them for the task ahead. Could Jesus heal everyone? Yes, he could. Could Jesus do all the amazing things? Yes, he could. But he only did things that his Father wanted him to do. So he was submitted completely with his life to Father. You got to live by the Word of God if you want to conquer with the Word of God. Many people are weak in this area and they live in fear and they live in anxiety, not knowing that the Word of God is powerful and Jesus and his name is powerful. And I know a guy that used to be in a church. He used to pray and things would happen. He had this power that was available to him. And he was a young guy. And then he started giving into the lust of this world. He started walking away from God, doing his own thing, living a life independent of God. And that's it. It came to my mind because can he operate in God's authority? No, he can't anymore because he's not submitted to God anymore. See, in order for you to accomplish anything great for the kingdom of God, you need to be submitted to God. That's the starting point. Our authority is directly linked to the obedience of Jesus and his word. And we can't operate in authority if we aren't under the authority of God. Second thing that we have to do is we need to recognize. Number one is submit to God. Number two is recognize. What do we need to recognize? We need to recognize that we are at war. Spiritual war. There's a warfare going on 24/7 for you, for your family, for everything. There's a warfare going on 24/7. And just knowing that we are, just recognizing that we're in a war is already half of the battle. The other half of the battle is you knowing that Jesus already won the victory for you. That Jesus already did everything that he needed to do for you to live a victorious life. To live fully and abundantly in this world. The enemy and his angels have already been defeated. And you just have to take hold of that, grab a hold and say, you know what? I never do anything. Jesus already did it for me. And you need to just believe it with faith, declare it. And when you pray it in Jesus' name, when you say not today, you're already ruling over it. Ephesians 6:12, it says this, we're not fighting. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. It is against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in a dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Your fight and your battle is not with people. It is not your husband. It is not your wife. It is not your friend, your co-worker, your boss. You're not fighting against them. Your fight is against the spiritual authorities that are influencing the people. Because they've opened up the door to be influenced by not being submitted to God first. You see, enemy and his angels have no power over you unless you give them the power. They have no power over you. They have no power over your life. They have no power over anything that you own, anything that you're involved in, unless you open up the door for them to have power. So just realize, recognize this truth, that when people say something to you, you don't have to be fighting back. And you don't have to be having a grudge against them and being angry at them, because it's not really them. What you need to do is you need to pray in the name of Jesus to declare, not today, Jesus. Those spiritual forces that are influencing those people, not today. They're not going to do it today. And when you speak that, you declare the power of God. You know what amazed me in the scriptures? Whenever you read the Gospels, you see Jesus walking in an area where there's people that were demon-possessed, people that had been influenced under the enemy. They were in the darkness. Whenever Jesus walked in, they recognized him. They said something, and then Jesus was just said, not today. He cast them right out on the spot. He walked up to this guy that was completely possessed, and he said, why did you come? Why did you come here, Jesus, to torture us? And then Jesus just said, just get out, not today. And then they were asking Jesus to be sent into the pigs. And then the pigs went down the cliff. But one important thing for us to realize is that in these spiritual beings, they can't make anything happen unless they have the bodies. So you have to realize that if God wants to accomplish great things in this world, and he wants to accomplish great things in your life, who is he going to use? You, his church. His church is the vessel of his power, of his kingdom, of his glory. And we are called to influence the negative areas, whether it's in our own life or whether it's in the lives of other people or in other areas. We are called, with the power of God that's in us, to influence those areas. That's why church is here for. That's why you and I are here for. We're not here just to come here on Sundays and worship God, which is part of it. We're here to fight the enemy and declare the name of Jesus over every situation, over every circumstance, because the name of Jesus is a victorious name. Amen. He already did the work. We don't have to do anything. That gives us peace, and that gives us authority to just be able to flee, to be able to resist devil, so that he may flee from us. Which is the third point. So number one is to submit to God. Number two was recognize that you're at war, 24/7 war. And number three is you need to resist the devil. And this is what he says, that resist the devil and he will flee from you. When Jesus was up on the cross, when he was down off that cross, and when he resurrected from the dead, Colossians 2:15 says this, he spoiled principalities and powers, and he made a show of them openly. He defeated them before all the heavens and all the earth. And that is a known fact. We weren't there back then, but we believe with faith that that's what happened. And if we believe in faith that that's what happened, then we walk in that faith and that authority that Jesus had already provided for us. See, without consent and cooperation with the demons, he's defeated once and forever, and he has no power over us. The power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and me, and that is a fact, and that is something that you should be aware of, because the enemy doesn't want you to know this. He doesn't want you to know that you have this power. You have this power. You have this power to say not today. You have this power to resist. For me to describe this to you, because devil is not everywhere. His angels are everywhere. And they're trying to influence. But the Bible tells us this, that whenever the name of Jesus is spoken, demons flee. Okay, that's the truth. Whenever someone says Jesus, in Jesus' name, demons just flee. Okay, and the world has described this, and I believe this was all inspired by the enemy and his angels, is we have some people have fear of the devil, have the fear of the angels, of the demons. And because I've been a part of a lot of spiritual realities back home, I remember casting out, praying for people and people falling and demons manifesting themselves and talking to us through a person that was a good person generally. And I've gone through this and I've seen this with my own eyes. So I know that demons exist, but I also know that the demons are powerless. That the enemy is powerless, especially when it comes to you and me. Okay? And for me, the way to describe this, because the demons are afraid of us, the enemy is actually the coward. They're actually shaking. When you walk down the mall, in the middle of that mall, you're walking down the mall, they're just in the spiritual realm, they're just moving away because you are going through. Whatever you walk in, if you walk into the area or situation, if you walk in a house where there's darkness present, and I've been there, I've been to houses where there's stuff happening, and you walk in, all of a sudden there's peace, and then people say it, all of a sudden there's peace when you walk into a room. It's not us, it's the power of God that's in us. See, we have the power that's available to us that we should just realize and live in and walk in daily. And just to kind of, not to belittle the enemy and his angels, but because they are nobody, nothing, they're afraid of you, look at them as mosquitoes. Okay? Have a perspective of demons as mosquitoes. Is that easy for you to picture enough? Is that easy enough for you to picture? They're mosquitoes. And when you get a mosquito in a house, what happens? Growing up back home in Europe, in a house, we didn't have those nets on the, you know, until they would walk in, they would come in. And I used to let them just kind of roam around the room, thinking they will not bite me. But, you know, you always wake up with a mosquito bite, even if there was one of them in a room only. Right? So mosquitoes are annoying. They're the most annoying insects in the world, okay? I don't like them. So I remember sleeping at my grandma's once back home. And I used to believe this. And I used to believe in this with my whole heart, that mosquitoes, their eyes, they have light in their eyes. So in the dark, they will find me. Because my grandma told me, you know what? If there's only one mosquito and there's a room of I don't know how big, they will find you and they will bite you. So you make sure, before you go to bed, you make sure that you kill that mosquito. Okay, you make sure to kill that mosquito because that mosquito is going to find you. I brought this just to kind of demonstrate to you what really is. So now I barely go to bed. If I see a mosquito, I barely go to bed unless I deal with him first in my own way. Now, how powerful is mosquito in comparison to you? How powerful is he? Is it? Can it really do anything powerful? Can you just fall off your chair and die if it bites you? See, that's the power that you and I have given to us by God himself against the enemy and his angels. That's exactly it. Picture it that way. You have the power. When you see a mosquito, just to do this, with prayer and with supplication and say in the name of Jesus, you have the power to say, you will not find me tonight. I'm not going to give you any power to find me and bite me because I got no money for those mosquito afterbites. Okay? So you will not have power over me, and if there's 10 mosquitoes in this room, I'm going to find them all and I'm going to kill them all because they're annoying. Demons are annoying. They really are. But just the word demons is sort of kind of scary, how the world is pictured, how the enemy has tried to make himself so scary. Even when you watch movies, it's like when they're dark, it's like, oh, this big, you know, heads and three heads and stuff. But that's not how they look, really. The Bible tells us that Lucifer, the enemy himself, was the most handsome angel that lived. And then he was cast down to the earth. So they don't really look scary, number one. Number two, they're not powerful. Okay, you have power over them. if you walk in submission to God's word. And they can't do anything. So next time there's something you're going through, and next time there's somebody else that you know they're going through, when people have thoughts, sometimes people say, oh, I hear voices. Those are the demons. Those are the mosquitoes that we need to speak to with the power that God has given us. And we shouldn't be afraid of, because they have no power. So next time you're in a situation when you're being attacked by the enemy and his angels, just stand up straight, stand firm, and say, in Jesus' name, not today. Can you repeat this after me? In Jesus' name. Okay, let's do it one more time. In Jesus' name, not today. Okay, I want you to use that. I want you to use that from the moment to tomorrow when you wake up, and as you live your life on, you say, in Jesus' name, not today. That is the statement that I'm going to live by, because I have the authority. You have the authority. We have the authority. In Jesus' name, not today. Amen. Not today. Enemy, I know some people that scream at the demons and the devil, and it's so powerful. You just have to show up and say, in Jesus' name, not today. And they flee. They run away. So don't be afraid. Don't live in fear. Don't think that they can do something to you. No, they can. Yes, they can influence people to do something to you. Yes, they can. But don't be afraid. Those people, even that are doing all the evil in the world, people say, oh, there's so many people do all the bad things, and terrorists and blowing things up. Those are all the people that are being influenced by evil, by those demons. They're believing the lies. They're believing, and they have fear. So we are the vessels. We're the vessel of God's power and glory in this world. And we are to use that power and glory in every situation. The moment we wake up, the moment we open our eyes, to the moment we go to bed, we are to use that power that's available to us. And it is only through us that God can accomplish great things in this world. Amen. So why don't we just all stand. I want to pray for you. And just in these three categories that I mentioned here, whether it's a place of submission where you need to submit to God, whether it's a place of you just being aware that there is a warfare happening and that you have to take a stand, or whether it's you just are not able to resist the devil and you don't have enough, maybe you have fear that he's some sort of creature, that he has something, you know, he has no power over you. He never will unless you give him power. So just be firm in your faith, be strong in your faith, and just declare this till the day you die. In Jesus' name, not today. Just say it one more time. In Jesus' name, not today. One more time. In Jesus' name, not today. So if you want me to pray for you, I'd just like you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. If you need to submit to God, if you need to be better equipped by His power to fight the enemy, I want to pray for you. Jesus, Father, in this place, we commit ourselves to you. We give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the power. And the enemy doesn't want us to know that we are on the winning side, that our Captain Jesus has already won. So in this place, this morning, Father, I pray that you would make us alive to this truth, that you are in charge, that you have already won, and that you have given us the power to overcome the enemy, to overcome his demons, his army, so that we can declare daily that he has no power over us, and he never will. Jesus is our Lord. He's our Savior. This morning, we just submit our lives to you, Father. We pray that you would strip away all the things that are not supposed to be in our life, God. All the rebellion and all the pride, Father. Take it away from our life, Father. Help us to be submissive to you, Jesus, to submit to your word. Forgive us our sins. Every time when we tried doing things on our own, Jesus, just forgive us. And help us to align ourselves to you, to your word, to your power that's available to us. And help us, Father God, to walk in victory every day until we die. In Jesus' name, not today. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.